reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Hi, I'm Rob West. Sunday is Mother's Day, and this verse from 2 Timothy 1 reminds us how deeply a mother's faith can shape generations. Moms have a quiet way of shaping our hearts, our values, and even our view of God. So today we're celebrating the impact of faithful mothers. And then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, so most of the time when we think about the value of moms, it's about things you just can't put a price on, like love and tenderness, guidance and wisdom that moms naturally pour out for their families. But what if we did put a monetary value on what a typical mother does for her family, day in and day out? What would her paycheck look like if that were a, quote, paying job? Salary.com has attempted just that. Their latest salary survey breaks down the roles a typical mom plays throughout the week, and the findings are eye-opening. Working moms, on top of their professional responsibilities, put in an average of 54 hours a week running their households, caring for children, managing schedules, keeping things on track. And for stay-at-home moms, the data suggests they're putting in the equivalent of 15-hour days, 7 days a week. That includes everything from chef, teacher, and nurse to event planner, financial manager, counselor, chauffeur, and sometimes even conflict negotiator. For all that, the annual base salary of your typical mom should be, are you ready for this? $185,000, given all the jobs she does on a regular basis. Now, that does not include pay premiums that companies may offer to retain excellent employees, such as bonuses, overtime, and hazard pay. Factor in those perks, and your average stay-at-home mom could earn more than $200,000 a year. And I think we can all agree they're worth every penny. Of course, no paycheck could ever reflect what moms are truly worth. Their value can't be measured in dollars because what they give is deeply personal and profoundly spiritual. And that's why Scripture calls us to honor them. So how can we honor our mothers this Sunday? Proverbs 31:28 gives us a beautiful picture of a virtuous woman's family. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. In this picture, her family doesn't just feel grateful. They express it. They speak words of blessing over her life. This is one of the simplest and most powerful ways to honor your mother. Tell her how much she means to you. Thank her for the sacrifices she's made, the love she's poured out, and the ways she's reflected God's character. But honoring your mother goes beyond words. As she grows older, honor takes on a new shape. It begins to look like care. Practical, intentional care. This isn't just a nice idea, it's a biblical mandate. Jesus addressed this directly in Mark 7, 10 through 13. He confronted the Pharisees for avoiding their responsibility to care for their aging parents. They claimed their financial resources were korban, meaning set apart for God, and therefore unavailable for family needs. But Jesus saw through the facade. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. In other words, their so-called devotion to God was a cover for selfishness. True devotion to God is never divorced from loving people, especially those in our own households. In God's economy, honoring your mother means more than a holiday. It means living a life of gratitude, service, and responsibility. Whether that means offering encouragement, financial help, or simply your time and presence, it's an act of obedience and love. So this Mother's Day, let your words be full of praise. But don't stop there. Look for ways to serve her, bless her, and care for her in tangible ways. In doing so, you reflect the heart of Christ and fulfill one of the most foundational commands in Scripture: honor your father and your mother. So this Sunday, take time to thank the mom in your life, your mother, your wife, your grandmother, or even a spiritual mother who's walked with you in faith. Let her know she's seen. Let her know she's loved. And let her know that her work, though sometimes unnoticed, is never in vain. Because when a mother faithfully serves her family, prays over her children, and passes on her faith, she's not just shaping a home, she's shaping eternity. I hope that's an encouragement to you today and a reminder to bless and love and serve the moms in your life as we celebrate this wonderful day, Mother's Day. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you had a Saturday all to yourself, what would you do? Me? I'd probably make a pizza. It's a hobby of sorts, and I've found that one of the most important ingredients is fresh herbs. But to get the full aroma out of those herbs, you have to crush them. And in the life of a Christian, trials serve a similar purpose. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, "We are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." And that fragrance of Christ in us is most pronounced in our weakness. So next time a circumstance or trial feels crushing, know that Christ will use it to make himself known. Anchor Devotional is daily encouragement for your walk with Jesus. Get started at getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Looking forward to taking your calls and questions today. The rest of the program is yours. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We could tackle whatever's on your mind today. Here's our goal during this hour: to help you live as a wise and faithful steward. We realize your faith is very important to you. That's why you're listening to American Family Radio. We realize you want to live out of a biblical worldview. That is, the lens with which you view every facet of your life is through the lens of Scripture and your identity in Christ and your understanding that we're to pursue Christ's likeness and that God's Word is the way that we seek the heart of God. And through prayer. And as we mine the Scriptures, we realize there's a lot there with regard to our role as stewards, financial stewards. We're entrusted with much, and we need to be found faithful in that. How do we do that? Well, we want to seek the heart of God, understanding that money is a good gift, but it has some deceitfulness attached to it if we're not careful. There's a seduction of wealth that in our sinful state can draw us to pursue money as an end rather than a means to an end. You see, God should be our ultimate treasure and then money a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Money will never fulfill that hole, that God-sized hole in our hearts for longing of abundance and purpose and significance and security. That all is found in the Lord. Money then is a tool to accomplish God's purposes, to give and to enjoy. Yeah, that's a part of God's plan. And to share with others and to invest. We deploy capital into business to grow that wealth and encourage human flourishing. And that's just a part of God's economy. Well, in doing that, we're going to have very practical decisions and questions along the way as we navigate our spending plan. What's the right lifestyle and how much should I give? And wait a minute, how much should I be investing over here and where should I be investing? What about the use of debt? How do I approach that? And if I've gotten a little bit beyond where I should be, or maybe I use debt to fund a lifestyle that I couldn't afford, how do I get out of that? Well, all those questions are fair, and we wrestle with those each day as we gather together during this hour. So with whatever's on your mind, you can go ahead and call right now. Our team is standing by. We're ready for you. We'll begin taking those calls here in just a moment. The lines will fill up, so this is a great time to call. The number, 800-525-7000. Again, it's 800-525-7000. In the news today, some Americans believe real estate and gold are the best long-term investments, but not all financial advisors agree. A new Gallup poll shows 37% of Americans favor real estate and 23% favor gold, both higher than stocks, which dropped to just 16%. Advisors say this is more about emotional comfort than sound strategy. These assets may feel more tangible, but that can also make them illiquid and hard to manage. Of course, historically, stocks are the clear winner. Over 30 years, the S&P 500 has returned 10.29% annually compared to 8.78% for real estate and 7.38% for gold. That's, again, over a 30-year period. Stocks also offer built-in diversification, spreading risk across potentially thousands of companies, assuming you're investing in maybe a basket of investments like an ETF or a mutual fund. Advisors recommend that investors still drawn to real estate or gold should consider REITs, that's a real estate investment trust, or an ETF that holds a basket of real estate investments. These provide market access without moving to that illiquid state. Gold ETFs can be especially useful, avoiding the security and insurance concerns of storing physical gold. So the gold ETF is where you buy a gold tracker like GLD. There's more than a dozen of them out there. They actually have physical gold in a vault backing the exchange-traded fund, but you buy and sell it like a stock. As long as the market's open, if you're buying and selling on the New York Stock Exchange, you buy into that gold tracker ETF, and it moves in lockstep with the price of gold, but you don't have to pay the dealer markup. You don't have to store it. You don't have to take physical possession. It makes it pretty effective to add to a portfolio. At the end of the day, wise investing isn't about what feels safe. It's about what's sound. And so that's why we would say, although we like real estate a lot, and I think you can do quite well with real estate holdings, just make sure you're properly diversified. Don't have all of your eggs in one basket, number one. Number two, I think with the precious metals in particular, we like to say perhaps 5%, maybe 10% is the best allocation there, just given it doesn't produce income, it is more volatile, and the historical returns are not quite as good as a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. How would you break down that 10% allocation? I like to think of the first 5% as what I would call a forever allocation. That's probably where you want to go ahead and make that purchase in physical gold, something that you would actually take possession of. You would store it, perhaps plan to keep it, never sell it, pass it down. I think that makes a lot of sense. That next 5% is probably, and again, this is not a one-size-fits-all, this is just a suggestion, that next 5% perhaps is where you employ some of these exchange-traded funds, like the gold tracker. Again, allows you to dial up or down that last 5% depending upon whether You know, it's a good fit for you, and what's going on just kind of geopolitically and in the markets and the economy, you're not paying that dealer markup. You're able to go in and liquidate the position very, very easily. So something to think about as you consider not only what has the long-term performance been and what does diversification look like, but at the end of the day, how do I actually make that investment? And do I, in the case of the precious metals, do I take a physical ownership or do I buy with a tracker? In the case of the real estate, do I actually buy a parcel of land or a property with a home on it that I'm going to rent out? Or do I use a real estate investment trust to essentially buy a basket of real estate holdings? I hope that helps. At least gives you a few things to think about as you consider your own approach. All right, let's dive in today. We're going to begin taking your calls and questions here right after this break. So I've got some lines open. Now is a great time to call. They're filling up, but we've got, it looks like, two remaining. Here's the number, 800-525-7000. Again, that number is 800-525-7000. And well, let's go ahead and start right now. We'll start in Texas today with Mark. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob, this is Mark.
Yes, sir.
I was just wondering, I've got a 401k that's got about $21,000+ in it. And I'm getting ready to retire at the end of the year. Yep. Should I leave that in there? Because I don't know if I'm going to leave the company to just stay part-time, or do I need to move that into something like an IRA or something different?
Yeah. And so what is your plan? You're not truly going to separate. You're going to stay with the same company potentially?
Hopefully that's what I'm going to do. I don't know for sure what's going to happen yet, but I should stay with the company for at least another year afterwards. And I just don't know if I should leave it alone and just let it ride.
Okay.
Or put it in something different.
The first question is, you may be able to roll that 401k over to an IRA by going part-time. You're going to just have to check with your plan administrator. Many plans restrict rollovers while you're still employed, even part-time. So you're going to want to check with that plan administrator first, because moving it out may not be an option. If you leave it there, I think the key is just looking at what is the right mix of investments for you, given your age and time horizon. If you are able to roll it out by going from full to part-time, then you could go to an IRA. You'd open up a lot more investment options, but you'd be responsible for picking those, probably a little beneath what you would need for an advisor. So I'd consider a robo like Schwab Intelligent or soundmindinvesting.org. But I think your next call is to the plan administrator.
In order to become godly men, young boys need to be shown what it takes. That's why Men of Honor exists. It's a privilege to teach boys age 7 to 17 the necessary life skills they'll use the rest of their lives. From 5:30 to 7:30 every Tuesday night from June 3rd to the 24th at the AFA campus, they'll learn basic craftsmanship, yard maintenance, and much more. It's free, and that even includes the food. Find out more about Men of Honor today at afa.net/events.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
In Denver, Colorado, Jamie Sanchez obeyed the Lord's call and opened the Drip Cafe to create jobs to help unhoused people get back on their feet. Of course, the LGBTQ community began persecuting him for his Christian beliefs. His inspiring story of standing boldly for God's truth in the face of great opposition is part of our Impact series, and we'll send you the DVD as our thanks for your gift to AFA. Visit afa.net/spiritualwar. afa.net/spiritualwar.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
AFA is a listener-supported ministry, and one very popular way to help us fulfill the Great Commission is through the AFA Foundation. You may know about things like charitable gift annuities, bequests, trusts, and wills, but even if you don't, AFA Foundation will not only provide in-depth answers to your questions, we'll even help you set everything up so you can leave a legacy that lasts for generations. Get started today at afafoundation.net. afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. We've got two lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Patrick. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is simple, I think. I was a huge fan of Dan Celia.
Yeah.
And in a nutshell, I heard him say many times to just invest percentages in ETFs.
Yes.
I'm 62 now. I'm not retired. I still work, but my income is nominal. I don't make a lot of money. But about 5 years ago, I started following Dan's simple plan of ETFs.
Yes.
My question is this: is that too simple a plan, or you know what I mean? Do I need to do more, or is that, can I just stick with that and keep doing that? Is that beneficial in the long run?
Yeah, happy to weigh into that, and you know I would totally concur. I think Dan was just brilliant and had so much respect for his ministry. My approach is a little different just in terms of what I do here on this program each day is I, unlike Dan, don't get into specific recommendations with regard to investments. But what I will say is just at a high level allocation, you know, I think of the stock portion that you would have, you know, probably 25 to 30% in international makes sense. So let's say, you know, at age 60, you know, you had a 50-50, you know, stock to bond allocation, whatever that stock portion is, I would, and so let's say it's half your investment and you may decide to do more or less, but whatever it is, I would say of that stock portion, having 25 to 30%, you know, in international makes sense. And then I would think in terms of, you know, the majority of that, probably 2/3 to 3/4, I would do in the developed markets. And then, you know, probably a quarter to a third in emerging markets. And, you know, that probably makes some sense just in terms of a broad diversification. Now, if you're wanting to be more concentrated in one particular country for various reasons, either you feel like there's just a lot of opportunity for value creation and outperformance, or you just have an affinity to a particular country like Israel, you know, then at some point you could decide, I want to kind of ratchet up that allocation. And just know that, you know, you're probably adding a little bit of risk there, concentration risk, as you move, you know, more heavily toward one particular country as opposed to being more broadly allocated. But I think, you know, that idea of a 50% allocation to stocks, and then let's call it a 25 to 30% allocation international with the majority of that in developed and a smaller portion in emerging. I mean, that feels right to me. And I think you could do that through ETFs or you could do that through managed funds. I know Dan talked a lot about, you know, Timothy Plan. I have a lot of respect for what Timothy Plan does, and they have a great Israel Common Values Fund. So that would be another way to solve for that. But is that helpful at all, Patrick?
Yes, it was. Thank you. And that's exactly what I'm looking at.
Excellent.
See. So, well, Lord. Yeah, I guess you're confirming what I'm already thinking. Thank you.
Excellent. Absolutely, Patrick. Call anytime, sir. Thanks for being on the program today. To Ohio. Hi, Les. How can I help you?
Yes. Anyway, it's my first time ever calling anyone, but I listen to you.
Well, I'm delighted. Thanks for making the call.
I've never done this before, but my question is, I guess it's about reverse mortgage, and the reason why is because I don't want a nursing home to take my home if I had to go there. I'm 76. My mind is right now, but it's hard for me to go up and down the steps, so I need probably a ranch-style house. But the main thing is I want to be able to, even though the home is in my daughter's name and her husband, you know, that if I pass, I still think a nursing home probably could take the equity I build up. So I want to know the best way to go to save that and still maybe be able to sell, maybe get me a ranch style.
Yeah. Well, the challenge is, that makes sense. And, you know, I think that the challenge is it's going to require that you, the homeowner who lives there as their primary residence, that homeowner has to be 62 years old or older and have typically 50%+ in equity. And so if you're saying this is legally titled in your daughter's name, then, you know, you would not be able to, nor would she, assuming she's under 62, be eligible for a reverse mortgage.
Well, she wouldn't be, but I would, right?
Well, but you said she owns the home, isn't that right?
No, I have her as a beneficiary in my
okay.
will and also at the banks.
Okay.
So, she would receive it in the event of my passing, but still, you know, it's in my name, though. It's strictly in my name, so.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, but the challenge is it has to be your primary residence. And so, you know, I think that's ultimately, you know, when you enter the nursing home, you could qualify for the home equity conversion mortgage, you know, but the key here is that moving into that nursing home for 12+ consecutive months triggers that home equity conversion mortgage repayment. As at that point, the home ceases to be your primary residence. So if you're just there for a shorter period of time, that's no problem. But if you move into that nursing home or similar facility for 12 consecutive months, that's considered a permanent move. Yeah,
but so a reverse mortgage, those are good. Which one would be the best one to take? The one that says you can live in the home, they'll pay you, but you can still live there. Is that a good deal? Do you hear anything?
Well,
about
it
that?
Can be. Yeah, I mean, so a home equity conversion mortgage, which is today's reverse mortgage, they're a lot better than the ones of that got the bad rap for good reason years ago. You pay a 2% fee to the Federal Housing Administration, but that guarantees that you never owe more than the home's value, and whatever equity is left comes to you or your heirs. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. Let's unpack that a bit more right after the break, Les, because I want to make sure you get your answer. So stay right there. We'll come back to you. Beverly, Caleb, coming your way as well. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
The poor lefties, how much outrage energy can you have? I mean, it's every day they're having to get outraged. You know what I'm saying? After about 4 days of outrage, you're just exhausted.
You know, on the left, they're really in favor of religious liberty for Christians as long as we shut up. Sit down and shut up. Yeah. That's your religious liberty.
That's it. Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Imagine having biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox every week, helping you integrate your faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. At faithfi.com, you can join a community of over 70,000 people who are already receiving our weekly wisdom email, filled with articles, videos, podcasts, and exclusive offers on resources that will deepen your understanding of biblical stewardship. Start your journey today by creating your FaithFi account at faithfi.com. Just click sign up.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before the break, we were talking to Les. He's a first-time caller. He's 76. His daughter is the beneficiary of his home. He was asking about a reverse mortgage. He is likely going to be headed toward a nursing home. So I guess to revisit that, Les, you know, to my point, if you vacate the home for a nursing home and you're there for more than 12 consecutive months, that's going to be considered a permanent move. That would mean that the reverse mortgage would have to be paid back. So that wouldn't be a viable option if you think that's the direction you're headed. But it sounded like you had a follow-up question. Do you still think that it may be an option for you?
Yeah, it's possible because, I mean, I'm all right mentally right now, but physically, you know, I have a lot of trouble, but I still make it down the steps, and even though it hurts a lot, you know, different things. So
yes, okay.
I've got some physical conditions and my heart condition. And I'm
got
on
it.
Oxygen.
Yes, sir.
I get around, but
okay.
But,
So the reverse mortgage is, I think, an appropriate planning tool to consider. Now, I will say a lot of folks, especially, you know, Christ followers, will say, listen, I want to get out of debt and stay there. And I certainly get that. We talk a lot about that. And I think that's certainly a wise goal. I think for others, when they get to this season of life and they say, listen, I just haven't saved enough. I'm struggling to make ends meet. You know, I'm sitting on a lot of home equity. I don't have a lot of investments. I've got a modest, you know, fixed income, and it's a struggle. And 2/3 of retirees are now entering retirement with a mortgage, where that used to be a half, you know, or less. And so that's obviously a major expense that if they could get that off the table would dramatically change their lifestyle and their, you know, the resources they have available to them. So that's where I think a reverse mortgage can be an effective planning tool. They're not the reverse mortgages of years, you know, in the past where, you know, people were worried about if one person passes away, their spouse is going to be kicked out of the home, or, you know, the estate might end up owing more than the value of the home. Neither of those apply. So as long as you're 62 or older, you have at least 50% equity, you could tap into the, you know, home equity. Typically, the way people do that, the most common is people will get a line of credit against it. And that way the money's available. And if you decide to take some out, you need it for a trip or a renovation or some expenses, you would never have a payment. You could pay it back if you wanted to, but you wouldn't have to. And so that's a nice benefit. The second most common way people use them is they'll use a reverse mortgage to pay off an existing forward mortgage, thereby just eliminating that mortgage payment, which is often a game changer. And then the third is to have a check mailed every month for the rest of their lives as, you know, basically a tax-free income stream where they're systematically drawing down the equity. And again, whatever balance is owed after the fees and the interest at your death, or if you move out permanently, then the house would be sold and the reverse mortgage is paid off, and whatever equity remains is then available for your heirs. So in this case, it'd be your daughter. So yes, it's a very effective planning tool that could be used if any of those scenarios apply. Does that make sense though, Les?
Yes, it does. And I'm changing my executor to a younger man who's only 20 years, you know, 20 years younger than the people I had before, because they're just too old to be able to be an executor to take care of all the stuff I have. Even though I'm planning to have some kind of an auction to downsize all I can.
Okay.
But it's a lot for me to load things, move things, that kind of thing. So I depend on people. It's a good thing I go to a church that very, you know, it's helpful. You know, two or three of the guys are pretty regular in helping me out. And yes, my neighbors help me mow. So, because I have about 2.5 acres. I don't mow all that, but about a half acre or so.
Yes, sir. Okay, very good.
But still, there's challenges, and there's a lot to be done yet.
So I get it.
I've got to figure out the best way to go. I don't want to make mistakes, especially when my major, I didn't really have a 401k or anything like that. So I guess my real only asset I have is the home itself.
Yeah.
And I've got equity, and I probably could clear over $100,000 for sure.
Sure.
But then again, of course, if you buy a place to live in separately, then that would cost me probably, even though it's half the size, it cost me the same, probably take it all.
Yeah.
I like
to
be able to give part of it to the church, and then of course part of it to my daughter to help them get a home. So.
Well, let's do this, Les. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Why don't I have you hold the line? I'll have our team get your information. We'll get somebody in touch with you to answer specific questions about that reverse, so you at least have the information to consider as one of your options moving forward. We appreciate your first time call today. God bless you. Call anytime. Let's go to South Carolina. Hi, Beverly. How can I help?
Hi. I have been hearing a lot about cryptocurrency, and I've been led to buy some, specifically XRP. I don't know if you know anything about that. It's pretty cheap right now, but I don't really know where to go. I've got a IRA at Schwab, and they don't do that. And my 401k through work, I'm 69, but I still work, and I haven't, taken any of my 401k from that, and I buy silver. But I was wanting to invest in a small amount of crypto, and I didn't know where to go to do that.
Yeah, very good. It's a great question. I mean, the most common right now would be one called Coinbase. You know, it's very beginner friendly. It's U.S. regulated, widely trusted, pretty simple interface. The fees are a little higher than their competitors, but it's probably the most common. The other one's called Binance, B-I-Nance, like finance, but Binance. They have low trading fees. They have a huge selection of cryptos, and they have some advanced trading features. I don't think you need that. It's Binance.us. It can be a little complex for beginners, and that's why I started with Coinbase, because that's really probably the better option. And then the third would be Kraken, K-R-A-K-E-N. You would need to find a crypto-friendly, IRA provider in order to be able to do that. But, you could go to one of the IRAs that are basically self-directed to be able to purchase the XRP. XRP in general, Ripple, I think you've got to understand there's legal uncertainty. Right now they have an SEC lawsuit. It's partially resolved, but there's still some risk there. They have some centralization concerns because Ripple Labs controls a large portion of XRP, and then it's not widely used for everyday spending. The pro on XRP is that it's fast and low cost, so it's great for cross-border payments. It's used by a lot of financial institutions, and it's scalable. I would just say, generally speaking here, Beverly, I'd probably consider this the most speculative portion of your portfolio. And so for me, that means if you want to have a speculation, component at all, it's probably not more than 10% of your portfolio. But I mean, at the end of the day, that's up to you. And I think those platforms that I mentioned would be the most common.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate the information.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate you being on the program. Well, we're going to take a final break here. When we come back, Jerry Boyer will stop by today. It'll be good to have Jerry with us and find out what he's thinking about the markets. A lot of news. We had yesterday's announcement about the trade deal between the U.S. and the U.K. and other things moving the markets as well today. Down across the board, but not by much. Pretty modest. We also have the China talks kicking off today as well. Jerry Boyer with us, plus a few more questions just around the corner. Stay with us on Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
It seems just about every day another politician tells you how important it is to care for our kids. Well, the most vital care starts in the home. So the question is, what is the responsibility of parents? What does God expect from them? Get answers for your family in the lesson John MacArthur calls Shade for Our Children. On the next Grace to You.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Jerry Boyer will be here in just a moment. We'll get his take on the markets. First, Caleb's been waiting patiently there in Kentucky. Caleb, go right ahead, sir. How can I help?
Hi. I had a question about how I should invest $5,000 I had left over from taxes, whether I should do some sort of money market account, CD ladder, or just a straight CD. I don't plan on using it for about a year or maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, I think given that time horizon, I mean, if it's less than 5 years, and what are you going to use it for, a purchase of some kind?
Yeah, I'm trying to save up for a down payment on a house.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I would say, I mean, just given the amount we're talking about, probably just a high yield savings right now would be the best option. You could go to bankrate.com, find out who has the best rates. You could go ahead and lock it up. I mean, I think the overall trend, although it's certainly happening slower than we thought, but the overall trend is going to be down on the interest rate. So if you want to go ahead and, if you know you've got at least a year, you want to lock it into a CD, you certainly could do that. Money market or high yield savings would both be other, you know, options. You're still getting pretty attractive rates right now, you know, around 4.5 probably. And you've got total liquidity, and you can, you know, clearly you could have an FDIC insured product. So you'd have, you know, a high degree of safety. And that would probably be the best option for you.
Okay. I mean, I have enough that I could take off of my paycheck from work that I could put more into it. So that's why I was kind of thinking a money market account would be good.
Yeah.
And I have a rainy day fund and everything saved up, and I've got plenty in a 401k and retirement account from work and from the military. So I was thinking I could definitely put it all into one thing for sure.
I think that's exactly right. And the key would just be, you know, with a money market account, not a fund, but an account, you can still get that FDIC insurance. I think the key is just where you can get you know, the best yield right now with high yield savings. You can get up as high as, you know, certainly 4.5%. You know, I've seen a few recently that are pushing 5%. Money market, you know, I think is about the same, you know, 4.25% to 4.5%. So you're pretty much going to be around the same rate. It's variable, of course, so it'll come down over time as rates move down. But I think either of those would be great options.
Okay. So anything above 3.5% would be pretty decent.
Anything above 4% right now, I would say, is pretty good.
4%. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And all right. Bank, well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bankrate.com could be a great resource for you. Thanks for your call today. We've got a few other lines holding, but first let's head to the phones. Jerry is with us. Jerry Boyer is our resident economist. He's a frequent contributor here. He joins us each Friday. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, never a shortage of things to talk about. We got the UK deal yesterday. We've got the China talks kicking off today. And we have a new pope. I don't know where you want to go first, Jerry, but let's talk about the markets.
I mean, we wanted to bring jobs back to America. There was that one job that was with Italy for about 1,000 years. Then it went with Poland,
yeah,
right? And then it went with Germany and then Argentina. And now, finally, America. It's an important job. Brought it back to Chicago. I mean, he's going to be living in Italy, but really, you know, it's it's working. You know, we're bringing jobs back to America.
It's working. Absolutely. Who would have thought?
We're building popes here in America now.
Well, Jerry, what do you see in these days, just as you're looking at the data pouring in? I know you often tell us data is a gift. So let's use the gift of data to tell us what's happening here.
I see you pivoted away quickly from my pope humor.
I did. I liked it. But,
yeah, exactly.
But there's a limit.
We
may digress.
Respect intended. Yes. All right, so what am I seeing in the data? Well, we're up for the week, down a little bit today, as you said. We had the Fed meeting this week, and they said they didn't cut. They didn't indicate that they would cut. They talked in a way where they said, look, the economy's under some pressure, and for a brief period it looked like markets thought they might cut later. But as of the end of the week, markets now do not believe there'll be a cut this year, an interest rate cut. And by the way, when we say interest rate cut, that's how they talk about it, but in reality, it's simply the creation of new money that's then pumped into the financial markets. So they have an amazing ability. If you make new money, it's called counterfeiting. But the Fed is legally allowed to simply create a bookkeeping entry in the account of a bank and then use that to buy assets from the bank. So they create money out of nothing and they put it into the system. And what that does is that tends to lower the interest rate because money's going into the system. But the actual operation is creating money and purchasing with it, sending it out to the banks. So the markets don't think that there's going to be a cut. And the reason they don't think there's going to be a cut is because they see the trade war as less likely to occur. The president seems to be backing off. Now, whether you want to call it backing off or whether you want to call it winning, the president's going to say, well, we had a trade war and we won it already. Isn't that great? They're all coming to us. They're kissing our rings. I'm not sure that's exactly what he said, but they're kissing our rings and they want a trade deal with us and they're all coming to us. And so the trade war's over. Or whether you want to say the president looked at some rather dire economic numbers and the possibility we're in a recession and therefore he's de-escalating. That's all political spin. All I'm saying is markets are acting like the tariff walls are going to be coming down. There's something the president said yesterday in coming up to this, this meeting with China and Switzerland today, which is Scott Bessent, he's the Treasury Secretary, said the goal is de-escalation. And the president said what we want from China is for them to open up their markets. It no longer works for markets to be closed up. Well, the president could have gone one of two ways. The president had two sets of advisors. One set of advisors said, tariffs are great, let's have them high forever, and let's have America make everything, pretty much everything here. That's Peter Navarro. The other members of the administration said, no, let's raise tariffs to get these countries to the table so that they'll lower theirs and we can lower ours. They call that reciprocity. It yeah. seems like the reciprocity people are like, that's who the president is listening to now. As an economist and as a Christian, I think that's a much better direction to go in. I think that God has organized the world providentially so that he spread out his blessings over all the world. There's places that can grow bananas and there's places that can't. There's places that have oil and there's places that don't. There's places that have rare earths and there's places that don't. There's places that have highly educated workforces that expect to make a lot. And there's places where people are just coming into the workforce and they work for less. There's all, God spread those blessings out throughout the world, and I think that is a providential encouragement for us to trade with one another. It also makes it much less likely that we wage war with one another if we're invested in each other. So I think that's the right direction to go. That seems to be the direction the president is going in, and I think that's why markets are up for the week and really up substantially over the past month.
Yeah. Jerry, is there anything to take away from the structure of the UK deal? I mean, the fact that, you know, it wasn't the tariffs were eliminated completely, and this happened to be one of the ones that was better in terms of the starting point on the imbalance. It actually, I think, tipped in our direction, although I may not be right on that. But the fact that that 10% remained, and then ahead of China, the China talks, he's saying, yeah, I think perhaps the 80% is the right number, you know, going forward. I mean, are we seeing that perhaps he's expecting more ongoing tariffs rather than just this being purely a negotiating strategy?
Yeah, I think he's going to keep some kind of baseline of 10% tariffing. Which I do not think is ideal. I think the right tariff rate is zero. I think taxes should be as low as possible, but I also think that taxes should be broad, not focused. Because when you lay taxes on a particular industry or a particular kind of transaction, what you're really doing is manipulating behavior rather than letting the market sort out the behavior. So the best taxes would be, say, a flat tax. That's what God asked for, 10% flat tax. Everyone paid it. It was low. As opposed to, I don't like this particular activity, so I'm going to tax it. But 10% is probably where the president is going to land. And I think the world will grow, including America, will grow less quickly because of it than otherwise would. But I think the president is also doing some other things with deregulation and across the board tax cuts here that I think are going to help us. So I think America's going to continue to outpace the world. Now, emerging markets almost always grow faster than we do, but they're riskier. So if on a risk-adjusted basis, the U.S. has a pretty good outlook. I think the U.S. economy is going to continue to be the envy of the world. Yes, a lot of this tariff stuff is the details. We don't have all the details on the United Kingdom. The president says all the details have been worked out, but they haven't told us what they are. But it looks like we're going to lower our tariff rate, and they're going to get rid of some barriers. I believe that it's a really good thing to do manufacturing in the United States. But I think my dream is not for Americans to mainly be stitching sneakers at low wages. Yeah. My dream for Americans in manufacturing is the high-wage, high-value-added stuff like advanced avionics, advanced materials, chips, where people can make a really good living. And there's parts of the world where they're going to stitch together sneakers. I think the UK is going to emphasize the high values. The UK deal is going to emphasize the high-value stuff like Boeing exports, etc. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, very good. All right, well, we'll certainly wait and see. Jerry, we've got just 30 seconds left. What's a big win you're excited about in the corporate engagement space?
A meeting with a bank this week. It was off the record, that was completely unwilling to listen in any way whatsoever, that is now saying, okay, what do we need to do? There's a vibe shift going on, and it's big. It's a big bank. I won't say who. Very big, very, very big bank. I won't say who they are, but I expect change is coming.
Is it huge? Huge bank.
Huge bank, with maybe the biggest ever in the history of the world, or at least of America, people some say.
Sounds good. Jerry, thanks for your time, my friend. Have a great weekend. It's Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. We always love when he stops by. All right, folks, thanks for being along with us today. Big thanks to my team, Adam Suddeth, Sandy Dickinson, Jim Henry, and everybody here at FaithFi. Certainly couldn't do this without them. If you'd like to support our work, become a FaithFi partner. We'll send you some incredible resources to help you in your stewardship journey. Just go to faithfi.com and click give. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.